Okay.
All right, Shabbos Shalom. Good evening. Good evening. Let's begin. Baruch Mir, I'm going to give you just a bunch of these to just pass down.
Just from the book.
Yeah, we're going back to the Sefer. Yaakov Tikva passes this down. All right, Shabbos Shalom. Good night of Shabbos. First of all, begin by thanking all of our sponsors for tonight's shir. First of all, thank you as always to Reb Steve Galaska for always coordinating. We thank Daniel Friedman in gratitude to the entire shul for welcoming and inspiring us during our longer than expected stay. So the Friedman, Dan was here, who was here with his son over the last couple of weeks, who came in from Eretz Yisrael and then was here for an extended amount of time. He says, and thank you to our friend David F. for helping us to return to Eretz Yisrael. Incredible. Our next sponsor, Ezra, Melissa, and Ari Gordon, in honor of their mother and grandmother, Shirley Gordon, on her 100th birthday. Wow. Mazel tov, and Maya Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. Joe Markovich is grateful to sponsor the Chabura on the occasion of his 70th birthday. Yeah. Mazel tov.
That number must be wrong.
Sorry, 17th. 17th birthday. Sorry, my bad. I'm going to read the dedication. This group was my first real introduction to the shul, to the community that Lior and I are now so blessed to be part of. The warmth of the welcoming community, the sense of belonging, and the wisdom shared each week played a meaningful role in our decision to make this our home. And of course, the music and potato kugel didn't hurt either. So on behalf of the entire shir, we wish you a very happy birthday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemir Atzah Hashem, bench you with many years of mazel, simcha, bracha, and hatzlacha. You and the Ora should enjoy a beautiful and incredible and overwhelmingly exceptionally bracha-filled life together. May I have Esim Shanim Tovos.
Amen.
Mazel tov. But there's more. By the friends of Joe Markovich, wishing him a happy 70th birthday. To Joe, who always lights up the room with his infectious smile and laugh, and whose growth in Torah, Avod, and Yira Shamayim inspires us all. From your friends, Stephen Jordana Galaskov, Itchy and Sarah Weingott, David and Lisa Gerhardt, Baruch Mary Rina Dubin, Matt and Diane Marks, Hanon and Sarah Blach, Maishi and Javi Abramson, David and Roberta Schwartz, Ellie and Devorah Cohn, and Yisrael and Beth Blumen. Mazel tov. Chevra, there's a gift table in back. Enjoy a little something. You could just make a donation to the shul in his honor. Either way is good. It's beautiful. Always have to raise money. It's not, all right, and of course, as always, we dedicate the learning in the schools of our precious brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. In the schools of our holy chayalim, and Meretz Hashem, we should be successful. Chol maasei yedehem, and halavai, we should be zocha during the days of Sfira, and Meretz Hashem, to see beautiful nisim and neflaos for all of Klal Yisrael. So, Rabbi, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go, like always, what a yid, you know, in Chassidus, one of the most important concepts is the concept of what they call Ratzav Eshov, which means forward and backwards. Then one of the most beautiful things in Chassidus is there's a recognition that no one always moves forward perpetually, but rather so much of life is this forward, backward momentum. We take two steps forward, we take one step back, and that's part of life. And this is so important. And one of the reasons why Chassidus is...
That's what you're supposed to do.
One forward, two back. It's all about the ratio. Two forward, one back. But one of the most beautiful things about Chassidus is they'll say sometimes, you know, when we take steps back in life, we feel like such a failure. And when you feel like a failure, sometimes it's so hard to get yourself out of that pit of despair. And then one of the most beautiful things about Chassidus is the affirmation of the human condition and a recognition that we all fail. Of course we all fail. Of course we fail. The whole avoda of life is fail, and then get back up and recognize you're going to fail again. And get back up and keep on failing and keep on getting back up. And that's the avoda. That's why Rabbi Nachman says, Ratzav v'shov. Life, no one ever goes just forward and never goes, hopefully no one ever goes just backwards. Life is this combination. I'm going forward, I'm going backwards, sometimes consecutively, sometimes simultaneously. Why am I saying this? Because tonight we're going to go a little bit backwards. It's been a couple of weeks actually since we learned the Piyajetzna, because last week we did the Baal Shem Tov, and then before that, the last year was actually before Pesach, I believe. Yeah, it was before Pesach, and then we were doing the Piyajetzna's Haggadah, the Torah of the Piyajetzna on the Haggadah for the last couple of weeks. So now we're getting back to our regularly scheduled limud of Hacharas Havreichim. So last year we started Perek Dalet, but that was probably a good month and a half ago. So with your permission, I just take that back. I don't care if it's your permission. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right? So we are in Yiras Hashem, going to go back to the beginning of Perek Dalet, chapter 4. So we'll see. You have the sheets in front of you. I also posted it on the WhatsApp chat, just in case anybody wants to follow. Whatever, wherever you want. There are sheets over here on the table if anyone needs. Good. Perek Dalet, which is page Chavchas. Shabbo says, if you remember again, the title of the chapter, Be'ize Emtsoim Ya'avot HaBocher V'Avrech Lasos Asmo L'Misragish. Shabbo says, if you remember again, just a little bit of introduction to those who may be joining us for the first time tonight. So remember again, Shabbo says, this entire Sefer, the Piyajetzna says, what is the Avod of a Jew? What's the Avod of a Jew? Little Chazar, what's the Avod of a Jew? To what? Vegas. To become a Chassid. To become a chassid, right? Dveikus is also true, right? But ultimately, Piyajetzna's his focus over here is to become a chassid, right? And in order to be, so what is a chassid, by the way? A chassid is a person, almost like the Ramchal says as well, who exceeds expectation. Every Jew is expected to live up to expectations. Hashem Baruch Hu creates expectations. Our avod is to live up to those expectations. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But that's the expectation is to live up to expectations. What does a chassid do? A chassid wants to transcend. A chassid wants to go, I don't want to just do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. I want to do more. And I will say, by the way, I just want to point out, that concept, and that's what it means to be a chassid. A chassid, right? A chassid is someone who wants to exceed expectations. That's the entire essence of a chassid. And the truth is, in any relationship, the difference between a stagnant relationship and a passionate relationship, you could apply this to any life relationships, is do you meet expectations or do you exceed expectations? And by the way, when I say relationships, I'm also like, it could be your marriage, it could be your friendships, it could even be your job. Right? Everyone knows that, again, if you meet expectations, you'll definitely be able to hold on to your job. I don't know. I'm not in the business world, but I would imagine, are you going to scale the corporate ladder by going ahead and meeting expectations? Probably not. Probably not. Can you become a good, valued employee? I'm sure. But where does success come from? Right? Just in Gashmias, where does success come from? Exceeding expectations. Where does success in every single relationship come from? Exceeding expectations. That's what a chassid is. What the Piyajetzna introduces about, say, however, is in order to become a chassid, first step, I know we're already chapter 4, but first step in becoming a chassid is regesh. You have to have feeling. You have to have emotion. You have to have passion. Without passion, right, without excitement, without a sense of hislavos, it's very hard to get traction on becoming a chassid, which I both say is such a dramatically different way, right? Because normally we think, all right, how do you become a chassid? We'll say, how do you become a chassid? If I were to ask you, before we turn, how do you become a chassid? What do you do? I'm sorry? Go beyond. Good. How do you go above beyond? Right?
Study.
Right? Learn more Torah. Daven more kavanah. Which, by the way, of course, is all true. But Piyajetzna says sometimes we get so focused on the behaviors and we forget that really in order for behaviors to be meaningful and sustainable in the long term, there has to be an emotional foundation. Right? I will say, what ends up happening often, right, during Yom Yom, and it's almost Elul, so we need to talk about this as well. Right? So because almost Elul, like, what happens during Elul, what happens during Yom Yom, right? I take this on myself, I take that on myself, and then usually what happens about, like, 4 days after Sukkot is over, right? I'm pretty much right back where I was. Why? Because often we associate growth with increased behavioral activity. Now, by the way, increased behavioral activity is incredible, but increased behavioral activity is usually only sustainable if it's built on a foundation of emotion. If there's an emotional connection, then behavior becomes sustainable. If there's no emotional connection, now again, I will say, you have to be careful with this, because on the flip side, we don't wait for emotion in order to engage in behaviors, right? Can you imagine what would happen if you didn't get out of bed in the morning for shir, for shachris, until you felt it, right? Until you felt on fire, right? When would you be getting out of bed for shachris and for shir? Never, right? Elo, right? Because I will say, to be honest, I don't know. I love getting up for shir in the morning, but I'm not going to lie. Like, I never have a feeling of overwhelming love when the alarm goes off. There are many emotions that go through me right now, right? Like, at that moment, but love and excitement is absolutely not one of them. Eschatani, master. Right? It's not. So But what ends up happening is, so sometimes you need behavior to create emotion, and sometimes you need emotion to create behavior. So there is that back and forth. What the Rebbe is just highlighting over here is, we're trying to create identity, right? Rebbe say, I want to, one of the most real things that the Piagetzna does for us is that so often in our Yiddishkeit, when we think about growth, right? Growth is the result of, right? When if you want to create a path for growth, what are you starting with? What are you starting with?
Action.
I'm sorry, action. Good. What action? Like, what area of life are you starting with if you want to chart a path for growth?
Mussar,
right? Good. Generally, the way most people tackle growth is they look at what's broken, and then growth begins with trying to fix that which is broken, which makes a lot of sense. The Rebbe is not taking that approach. The Rebbe is saying, let's look at this from a holistic perspective, not reactive. Because when you fix stuff that's broken, that is reactive spirituality, which is important. The Rebbe is taking a much more holistic approach. Let's take a step back. Let's build ourselves. And we'll say this also ties in a lot. I'm going to get a little plug over here. At 5:50 every morning, we have a beautiful Musar Seder. It's a little short. But we're learning this incredible Sefer, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. And it's exactly about this, about building yourself. How do you, not how do you stop sinning, right? Not how do you become a Baal Tshuva, but how do you build you? How do you build the better you? So that's the Piyush, that's the saying over here. We're not talking about hate, right? We'll say, isn't that liberating, by the way? Isn't that liberating? We're not going to talk about sin, right? So this, we'll talk about sin later. Well, certainly sin later, right? But anyway, right? But for now, I'm sorry. I said it's almost that old. It's almost. This is a little time. Right? Correct. No, but there is, the point I will say is that so often, I think what the Rebbe is highlighting is so often we focus on the reactive parts of Yiddishkeit without ever taking a step back and asking ourselves, like, I want to build a personality from bottom up. How do I do that? Imagine for a moment I'm a blank slate, right? A blank slate, tabula rasa. And I want to build something beautiful and holy. How do I do that? So the Rebbe says over here, the first thing you got to start with is emotion. Now, what's the problem? And this is Rebbe covered in the previous parak. What's the problem? Let's dive in. He says, "Ha'isha chafis lahachnis es kol asmo v'avodas Hashem, ubifrat hamishtokik lahachshes asmo la'avoda pi darchei chasidus." So, a person who literally, again, wants to throw his entirety into avodas Hashem. See, Rebbe says, what the Rebbe is highlighting over here is what's often our greatest challenge in our avodas Hashem? What's the greatest challenge in avodas Hashem? I will say, the greatest challenge often is we have commitment issues. You know, our conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes like this. Ribono Shel Olam, I love you so much. You complete me. You're perfect. But I think we should see other people, right? You know, like I'm not, I love you. I love you. Like, I know that you're the one. But I'm not ready to settle down yet, right? I want to play the field a little bit. I kind of want to see. I'm sorry? No, not with other gods. I'm just, not with other Chassid Shalom, right? But I'm just saying, like, you know, at the end of the day, the greatest challenge in Yiddishkeit is that we have commitment issues. I can't say I'm all in. Because, again, remember, if I'm all in, then I have to be all in. And being all in might require a lot of adjustments to my lifestyle. Or being all in might require me to stop doing things that I am doing, start doing things that I'm not doing. So we have commitment issues. We really do. And by the way, it's okay. It's okay. It happens. It's normal. We'll say part of the beauty of learning with our Rebbe, of the Piagetzna, is he allows us to be real. Right? We don't have to pretend. So okay, I have commitment issues. That's what the Rebbe says. What's my goal? My goal is I want to be all in. That's what I want. I want to be all in. I want to be a chassid. How do I do this? Sarichu l'shtadlo shi'isragish min avoda. You have to try to feel to yisragish min avoda. You have to have an emotional, almost like emotional high from avodas Hashem. Yisragish. It has to be that avodas Hashem lifts me up and inspires me emotion, that I feel something. I feel something stirring in my soul. Me'ayira va'avo mikol mitzvah tefila. And again, I will say, the goal is to feel it from everything. To feel an emotion, to feel emotion when you daven, to feel emotion when you learn, to feel emotion when you give tzedakah, you do chesed. U'latach l'zeh, tzarechu li'asos kula li'ish misragish. Now again, I will say, where does this start with? This is incredible. What does it start with? It starts with becoming an emotional and feeling individual. You have to become emotional. Rabbi said one of the things. Well, let's go. Right? You have. Rabbi says it's incredible. If you notice, he says the first step to feeling emotion and regesh, feeling in your ruchnius, is not about Judaism. It's about you. I have to become an emotional feeling person. Zekitzer devarinu adato. So that's our summary for the first three chapters. Ube emes, and Rabbi says it's incredible. Ube emes, shtei ilan imsos b'chol ish Yisrael. L'zeh mida yose meruba, u'zeh memida mu'etes. Rabbi says, now here's the thing. See, when it comes to emotion, we often think some people are emotional, and some people aren't. Right? Some people have a regesh, and some people do not. The Rebbe posits that's not true. Every yid has a tremendous wellspring of emotion inside of him. We all have it. Now again, the Rebbe says, some have a little more, some have a little less, but everybody has it. How do we know? This is incredible. Ki achas mimidos Yisrael be'etzem, hi rachmanim. Because one of the midos that we possess as a people is that we are rachmanim, we are compassionate. Ve'ech ze'efsher li'ish yavish v'kar bilti misrage she'i rachman b'teva. Now again, what does that mean? So Klal Yisrael is known as rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. We are compassionate individuals, the sons of compassionate individuals. So by definition, where does compassion come from? Compassion is emotion. So the fact, now it's interesting, right? It doesn't say chasidim arachmanim b'nei rachmanim, right? And litvaks are not, right? It doesn't say, right, that chabad are emotional and briskers are dry, right? It says all of Klal Yisrael are rachmanim b'nei rachmanim, which means that every single Jew possesses some level of emotionality, some level, ultimately, again, of hergish, a feeling. Kama achzer yochalafam l'rachim. Even someone who is totally cruel, right, and dispassionate, sometimes could have compassion. Aval shiyeh rachamon b'teva i'efshar. P'zizaso shalama p'ziza, hiskatsu v'lov avaso shabein ishta chavera meikar v'lakrovo, yisodosam hisrakshusam asher b'tivam hi. Ovisorim kidoshim isa, shagam avas Hashem tivis hi b'ish Yisraeli, rakshi t'mura bilti n'regashis kam yaso. So this is the thesis of the Rebbe. The thesis of the Rebbe ultimately is that emotion is not something you have to acquire. Emotion is something you have to access. We all possess it. Every single person possesses emotion. Now again, not every single person necessarily possesses emotion or feeling in the same measure. There's definitely people who are more emotional and people who are less emotional. That's for sure. But everyone possesses emotion in some dramatic measure. The Rebbe goes on. He says, "Vezeu kol hadavar." The Rebbe says, "This is the entirety of the matter." Hester va'abilti nirgash gam liatzmo min ha'misrachish b'kirbo. Mirachish esa ish min atzma afei parasol. So we'll say, okay, before we translate this line, which is an overwhelmingly incredible line, if there's one thing that we've seen throughout so many of the Piagetina's svarim, it's this concept, ultimately, again, that the greatest challenge is that often we are closed off from ourselves. We are not self-aware. I don't know me. That's what I will say so often. Right? When somebody asks you about yourself, what's the first way normally we self-identify?
What do you do?
Your job. Right? And which is why, by the way, right, when I'm having like a crisis in my career, right, there's a pain that's there because we spend so much of our lives with our identity intertwined into what we do for a living. Right? After job, how do we define ourselves? After job?
Retired.
Family, right? Relationships, right? I'm someone's father. I'm someone's son. I'm someone's friend. I'm someone's husband. I'm someone's this, right? So we identify like that. But it's fascinating that often kind of if you peel away career, right? Because career could be taken from you. If you peel away family, because Rahman al-Islam, family could be taken from you. So who are you? Who are you? What is your identity? Who are you with all of those things removed? And that's a very hard question to answer. And the Rebbe says that's because often we're not in touch with ourselves. Look at this line. Vizel kol adavar. The Rebbe says, I want to show you what this all comes with. What the whole matter is, ha hester va bilti nirgash gam liatzmo min ha misrachish mikirbo. Someone literally again who is hidden from himself, someone who can't really feel what's happening inside his own heart. Merachik es ha'ish min atzmo alfei parsos. I will say, isn't the great anomaly of life that sometimes, right, there's no one in life who you're closer to than you, but yet there could be no one in life who you're further from than you. Right? I'll say, isn't that overwhelming? That how often in life we go through, and I don't know. I will say, by the way, you see this all the time. This is why people bury themselves in work, right? This is why people, I'll say, you know, it's always interesting. I have to just mention this, because somebody just mentioned this to me this week, and I couldn't fully chap it. Somebody was talking to me about fantasy football. Fantasy football. And I was like, wow. So, meaning, it's not enough to literally decimate, sacrifice, and obliterate hours during actual football season. You have to fantasize about it, right? And also like a whole other thing. Now again, sports are a wonderful outlet, and it's good, and it helps with Godless Adam. But one does have to ask themselves that, are you running from something? Are you losing yourself in something, right? Because at the end of the day, there's not a lot of time. You know, there's a famous Gemara where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes over to Yitzchak Avinu and he says to Yitzchak, Banecha Chatu, your sons sinned. Your sons sinned. So first of all, Yitzchak Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this is a conversation that often happens between parents, right? Look what your kid did. So first of all, Yitzchak says, my kid, right? When they behave, it's our kids, right? Or when they behave, they're your kids. Now they misbehave. So Yitzchak says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much could they have possibly seen? Listen to what Yitzchak says. Yitzchak says, what's the lifespan of a person? 70. I'm not right. Wrong shit. Right. I know. As it's coming out. Till 120. All right. So Yitzchak Avinu says, how long is the lifetime of man? How long is the lifetime of man? 70 years. Okay, so Yitzchak Avinu says, out of 70 years, listen to this, half of that is spent sleeping. Person sleeps. Now, both sides, so you know what that means, by the way? A person sleeps half of their life. And some are machmir, and they sleep even more, right? So half of your life, you're asleep. Half of your life, you're asleep. So that means that lops off 35 years. So at most, Yitzchak says, you left with 35 years that you could sin. Out of the 35, Yitzchak says, half of that is spent eating and going to the bathroom, right? And the assumption is when you're eating and going to the bathroom, so you can't get into too much trouble. That means, there's right, 35 divided by 2, 17 and a half years. Out of a 70-year lifespan, Yitzchak Avinu says, there's really only 17 and a half years that a person really lives. So Yitzchak Avinu's point to Kadosh Baruch Hu, how much could they possibly have sinned in 17 and a half years? So Yitzchak Avinu says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll make you a deal. You have broad enough shoulders, you should be able to handle it. But if not, I'll split it with you. This is why, by the way, I mentioned this this past year, maybe a couple of years ago. This is why by one of the symbolisms at the Seder, by Yachatz, we break the middle matzah. The middle matzah is Yitzchak, right? Three matzahs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The middle matzah is symbolic of Yitzchak, representing the idea that Yitzchak Avinu was willing to accept upon himself half of the collective guilt of Klal Yisrael. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I will say, think about this just a moment, that out of 70 years, Yitzchak Avinu says, there's maybe 17 and a half years of productivity. Suppose I do you know what then? By the way, Yitzchak is just talking about people in general, not tzaddikim, not rishonim, just people. 17 and a half years of dynamic activity out of a 70-year lifespan. Okay, so Meretz Hashem, we live longer. So whatever, but the ratio. Which Suppose I then begs the question, why we sometimes get caught up in the stuff that we're getting caught up in. And you have to wonder to yourself sometimes, that are we running away from something? Am I running away from something? And the Rabbi, I think, posits that a lot of times we're just running away from ourselves. Because I don't necessarily want to face me. Because I don't know, maybe I'm nervous about getting to know who is the real me, because chances are I'm going to find a lot of great stuff, but I'm also probably going to find some stuff that needs repair, that needs some type of tikkun, that needs to be addressed. And that's not pashut. So I often think that like we find ways to just run away from ourselves. So the Rebbe says, isn't the most incredible thing that sometimes you could be literally alfei parsos? You could be right, you're the closest to yourself, but you could be thousands of miles from yourself. Es atzmo eino makir. I don't even recognize myself. I don't know me. Ve'es hamisrachish bekirbo lo yeda. And I will say, watch this. I for sure don't understand what's happening inside of me. And I will say, how often does it happen that something occurs and we have like such like a sharp response, like an intense response? Has that ever happened to you? Where like someone says something, you react, or you see something, you react, and like it's such an intense reaction. And you wonder to yourself, like, whoa, why did I react that way? Like, what was that? Why? It's not, I try to be a pretty measured person, and like this, like snapped. What is that? And I will say, so often like we think about it, and then what happens? Oh, I'm late for fantasy football. You know, like whether it's that we're nervous, we're scared. I don't know what the psychology of it is. But the point where the Rebbe says is often like we don't even understand what's happening inside of us. And when you don't understand you, it's number one, it's dangerous, because then I really don't understand why I do certain things in life and how I could avoid the negative things. But I also don't have a handle on becoming the best version of me. Nafsho, gam shel hedyot, eina chadela milis nanei melefarches, militzok umilischanin an the michios atzmo, v'al kol hakoseh, an the gifoseh, v'al yisureh shemiyasru osa memasov. So I will say, you know, the neshama calls out each and every day. And what does the neshama call out? The neshama often is sad. Right? Why is the neshama sad? Why am I saying? Because often in life, I'm underperforming. So my neshama is here. My neshama, like the Baal HaTanya says, it's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama wants to accomplish, the neshama wants to do, the neshama wants to, but the neshama can't do anything without the guf. So often the neshama's crying out, come on, let's go. We can do more, we can be better. And the neshama cries out of a sense of pain. And what happens? And the neshama, b'dibur of machshavos ha'ashtusiyim. Sometimes the neshama just sees me engaged in stuff that's just like so foolish and so wasteful, right? Things that really just, I'm not even talking about averus, but just things that just don't matter. Vahu, and Moshe, so here, the neshama's crying out. So you think it is, I don't know, I never heard my neshama cry out. The Biyajan says, exactly. Vahu, o she'eno margish mu'uma, so again, I don't feel any of this, either because I'm just not paying attention, right? I'm not even taking the time to try to listen to my neshama. Now why is this? And this is incredible. Man is always drawn to what's outside of him, and never really drawn to what's inside of him. See, Rabbi, you see the picture that the Rebbe is painting, which is so profound? We spend a lot of life, whether we realize it or not, running away from ourselves. And when you run away from yourself, and that's why, again, we're so easily drawn, right? We're so easily, you know, I always find it interesting that, like, today, everybody has ADD. Right? Everybody has ADD. I don't know. See, either again, there's something in the water, because I don't know. I'm not so old. I don't remember this. I don't remember this. And of course, yes, there might be people who have a clinical diagnosis of ADHD. But I think a lot of us, it's just that we're just not attentive. We're just, because again, and by the way, lest you think that this is like a new dynamic, the Piagetsna, I don't know what distractions there were in Piagetsna, right? I don't know what there was in Piagetsna. I don't know like what you did to blow off steam in Piagetsna, you know, I don't know, but remember, so they didn't have technology, but just don't think that they didn't have distractions. Right? Everybody always had distractions. And this is what I was saying is, we're so distracted. We always gravitate to what's outside of us, to the exclusion of looking at what's inside of us. And as a result, the Rabbi goes on, he says, Al divrei olam lahasig ha'achrechios va'abilti achrechios af ledas ma besof ha'olam yis anyon v'al nafsho lo yifne daito. I'm paying attention to everything else, right? I'm plugged into everything else except the one thing that matters most, which is my neshama. Right? I know what's happening everywhere with everyone. I'm in the hack for everything else. But the one thing I'm profoundly out of touch with is my own soul. El libo lo yazin lahakshov maha sha'on asher atabo. And as my neshama is crying out and my heart is crying out, I don't hear it. It's just simply, again, not something that even registers with me at all. O shemargish. Or there may be times that I do feel the neshama crying out. Top of page chavtes, Rakevan shegam b'shah shemargish ritzono daito machshavosav berefesh divrei olam nesunin lachin gam hemios nafsho v'kolo l'kol anos hu shomea. Shabbos says, so it's incredible. He says, and even sometimes when you do hear what the neshama is saying, still the voice of the neshama is drowned out by everything else that's going on around you. He gives an interesting mashal. Mashal ish yashin esher akats osel zvub b'mitzchah. We'll finish with this. He says, you can compare this to a person who's sleeping. And when he's sleeping, he gets stung by a bee on his forehead. So now he's sleeping while this happens. Azim socher hu, rabbi chalom eshech havi l'schar nafal mitzchah v'nifza. If he's a merchant, right? So he's dreaming. What does he associate the pain with? Oh, so some merchandise fell on my forehead. That's the pain that I'm feeling. Fim chaya, too, if he's a tailor. Rosh v'machto dakaras mitzcho. Must be a needle, right? A needle pierced me in the forehead. Kol echad bilavush rayonosav eschalom oroa. Everybody sees the pain of the bee sting, you know, in a frame of reference that they have. So what happens is, why is that? Because the merchant is living with his merchandise, and the tailor is living with his needle and thread. And so in this world, we're also embedded in the stuff that we do, that even when the neshama, even if I hear a little something, the noise gets lost, right? The sound gets lost. The cry gets lost. So I'll say, we'll have to stop over here for tonight, but just understand what the Rebbe is really setting us up for, right? So the goal ultimately is to feel emotion. Lest you think that you have to acquire emotion, not true. We are all inherently emotional. How do we know that? We are the children of Avraham Avinu. We are Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. Each of us has that sense of compassion. So we are all inherently we all inherently possess a wellspring of emotion. Some more, some less. So in a second, why don't I feel it? The Rebbe says, that's because I'm not in touch with me. I'm not in touch with me. That every single day the neshama is crying out, come on, let's go, let's do, I love you, we could fly, we could do so much. And either I'm not paying attention, right? So I'm just involved in everything else, so I don't hear it, right? I'm a million miles away from myself, so I don't hear it. Or I do hear it, but it gets drowned out by other stuff. And because I don't know me, therefore, by definition, I can't access the emotion that's inside of me. And if I can't access the emotion, that I can't get fulfillment from my Yiddishkeit. And if I can't get fulfillment from my Yiddishkeit, there's no way to be the chassid. So we have to stop over here for tonight. But don't worry. Because the Rebbe is going to be back with us next week in Eretz Hashem. And again, we're going to figure this out. I know you probably feel like a knot in your kishkas. And it's not the falafel, right? I'm just saying, you feel like a knot in your kishkas. And that's because, this engenders a certain sense of existential angst. Because I will say, if you're really allowing the Rebbe's Torah to penetrate your neshama, probably what you're feeling right now is, oh my gosh, I don't know myself. I don't really know myself. And that is an overwhelming emotional reality to contemplate. But the good news is, the Rebbe is going to teach us how to hear the neshama. The Rebbe is going to teach us to really how to get to know ourselves. And ultimately, again, our Rebbe is going to lead us ultimately to becoming real chassidim. And again, a very special thank you to Scott Gordon for putting out everything tonight as well. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Birthday boy.